Anna DeVlantis in today for King John. Glad you're with us here on WGN. It is time for the Wintrust Business Lunch. Stepping up with us here is Greg McBride, is the Senior VP, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. How are you, Greg? How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Anna. It's great to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. As we head into the holiday weekend, I guess the cost of goods is on a lot of people's minds, no doubt about that, as we see a lot of prices of the things we buy all the time go rise. There's an interesting new survey out that we want to talk to you about, that the majority of U.S. households are uneasy right now with the level of their emergency savings. I just wonder how that's got to go hand in hand. You're paying more for gas and groceries and housing. You're not saving as much.
Yeah, it sure does. And here's the ironic thing, Anna, is that we've been looking at this for years, more than a decade, and we actually see that households are better off from a savings perspective this year and last year than they had been for the preceding decade leading up to the pandemic. Of course, during the pandemic, between stimulus payments or reduced spending, those savings balances built up. But what we're starting to see now, those higher costs taking a toll on the household budget. You see credit card balances going back up. We're also seeing the savings starting to get worked down a little bit. About 34% of households say they have less savings now than they did a year ago. But yet, despite the fact that overall people are better positioned now than they had been for years and years, The comfort level with that savings has completely fallen off the table in the last 2 years. So a big jump in the percentage of Americans that say they're uncomfortable with their savings just in the last 12 months. And of course, the commonality there, inflation has really taken off in the last 12 months.
Yeah, I just think the volatility of the world, you know, it just, when you see prices go up like that and you see gas spike the way it has, that leads to discomfort. You're thinking, how high can it go? How much should I prepare? You know, that's a big increase in the cost of basic goods and things we buy at the grocery store, stuff like that.
Yeah, inflation's at a 40-year high. It's hit hardest in the categories that are necessities, food, shelter, and energy. So there's just, and it's been so pervasive. There's just nowhere to hide on this. And so not only is that really stretching household budgets, beyond the point of no return, but it erodes the buying power of your savings. And we're seeing it's also eroding the comfort level that a household may have one time had based on having that cushion put away for a rainy day. Now, knowing that it doesn't buy as much as it did a year ago, people aren't feeling nearly as comfortable.
Yeah, I'm noticing here the higher your income, the more comfortable you are. No surprise there. One in four adults today has more emergency savings than they did 1 year ago. Weren't people saving an awful lot during the pandemic? Didn't we learn that you weren't spending as much on restaurants and goods and things like that? People did build up those savings, is what we heard so much about.
Yeah, for sure. And, I think, nothing like the sudden economic stop that we saw in the early stages of the pandemic to really underscore the importance of emergency savings. And so that recognition is still there. Where we see the balances starting to come down now, it's not a byproduct of excessive spending or sort of a return to, to previous habits as much as it's just a reflection of the fact that necessities have gone up. And a lot of household expenses have gone up faster than pay has been able to keep up, and savings is increasingly being leaned on to fill that gap.
Millennials have significantly less in savings than older generations. They've had less time to build up a nest egg, that's for sure, and their level of comfort was much lower than older generations. You know, I hear so much about trying to remind millennials to save, and do you have any tips about that or anything you would guide people on in times like these?
Oh, yeah, first off, we've actually seen millennials actually have much better savings habits than generations that preceded them. And a lot of that a byproduct of coming of age during the financial crisis. But to your point, it does take time to build up 3 months or 6 months worth of expenses as a cushion. And they just haven't had as much time as, say, the Gen Xers and baby boomers who have a higher propensity to have enough to cover 3 months or 6 months expenses. And by virtue of that, have a higher comfort level with the savings. But particularly now, I think the key to saving is all about making it a habit. And the best way to make it a habit, automate it, pay yourself first, set up a direct deposit from your paycheck into a dedicated savings account. If you wait until the end of the month and try to save what's left over, too often there's nothing left over, especially now. And even when there is, there's no consistency from 1 month to the next. And so that's why it's really important, particularly now, flip that around, even if it's a modest deposit, it's all about establishing that habit. When an unplanned expense comes along and puts a dent in your savings, you're only one paycheck away from beginning to replenish that.
Greg McBride here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. He's Senior VP, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Thank you, Greg. Enjoy the holiday weekend.
Thank you, Anna. Appreciate it. You too.
Terry Savage joining us here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Anna DeVlantis in for King John today. Terry, it looks like the markets are trimming their losses. You know, you keep hearing that traders are trying to factor in or work in this idea that we're in a recession. Are we in a recession? Can you just clarify that for us? What's happening?
Maybe. And we will find out officially. It takes 2 negative months of gross domestic product. That won't be reported out for another few weeks. But in fact, the first quarter was negative, so it's entirely possible the second quarter could be. You know, you and Greg covered half of the issue with people's money, that, mm-hmm. and I've known Greg for a long time. You covered savings kind of disappearing in value as people dig into them. For this next couple of minutes, let's talk about your investments disappearing, because though we're only down a couple hundred points now, we were down about over 600 earlier this morning, making it the worst quarter since the pandemic, the worst S&P 500 first half since 1970, the NASDAQ down 30%, and I am here to hold your hand because as the quarter ends at the close today, a couple of hours, pretty soon, a week, two, maybe not much longer than that, you will get your IRA statement, your 401k statement, and you will be able to see how much money you've lost.
What do you suggest there? Should we not even look? Because if you're in it for the long term, I'm always told it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And from your perspective, you are absolutely in it for the long term. There are a lot of people in our audience who are already retired or on the edge of retirement. And I've for months and months and months talked about chicken money, sell down to the sleeping point, have a little on the side, either inside your retirement account or outside so you don't panic. This is not the end of America, but this has been not your imagination. A very bad 6 months because you lost money, even if you were being conservative, you lost money in stocks, but you also lost money in bonds, those bond funds, because when interest rates go up, the value of your old low-yielding bond fund declines. So both stocks and bonds lost money. And when you get this new statement, you're going to see, here was my value at year-end 2021, which was a very nice peak, and here is my value down likely 20% or more mm-hmm. of my account at the end of the second quarter. So do not panic. It's too late to panic.
Mm-hmm. So to your point, the people who are close to retirement or in retirement itself, would you tell them that the pain is almost over? I mean, no one can accurately predict that, but I know that's on a lot of people's minds, is how far can it go downwards?
Well, first, I mean, you know, this is obvious. It could go further. We're only down about 30%. The bear market of 2008-9 and the bear market, the dot-com crash, those popular averages, not just the crazy stocks, today's meme stocks, those dot-com bubble stocks, mm-hmm. but the averages were down close to 50%. So it is possible, but you're not taking all your money out now. I mean, it's scary to look at the balance, but you will have time for it to rebound even over the next coming years. It's just going to take an awful lot of self-discipline if you aren't able to say to yourself, well, that's okay. I'm glad I moved some to the money market fund inside my IRA in January kind of a thing. So that when I have to take my RMD, look at this. People who are a little older and required to take money out after age 72, that distribution is going to be based on your value at year end last year. You may be down 20 or 30% now, but the calculation is based on the year end value. So it depends who you are. Anna, I know you. I've known you a long time, but you're a baby. You keep putting money in that 401k don't even think twice about it. You will come out ahead every bear market. Think about this. Every bear market we ever had, we are higher now, even now. Around 30,800, we are higher than where we were in those bear markets. So perspective and self-discipline now.
And you can't time the market. Thank you for calling me a baby. Anyway, 224 says, please ask Terry. And this is interesting because I've heard so many people, they're just trying to say, what do I do right now? What do I do? And listen to this. My husband says we should take our investments out of the market, put it in cash, then put it back when the market is even lower. I say we haven't lost anything until we sell, and we should ride it out. What do you say to this couple? I mean, these are real conversations people are having.
You know, that idea of doing what the husband wants to do requires you to make three right decisions to decide when's the time to sell and when's the time to get back in again, and then what to do next. As long as you don't need the money in the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to be painful. It might go lower. It might last longer. Not all bear markets just touch a bottom and go back up. They can hang around that bottom, bouncing around there for a while. But I would absolutely stick with your investments right now. This is the reason you have an investment advisor, not a broker, who will hold your hand. I want to be that for you. I want to hold your hand. Now, look, if you have no cash, that's a different story. But this is your retirement account, and hopefully you'll have another 15, 20 years of retirement. Let the retirement money do its job.
Mm-hmm. TerrySavage.com, also a great, you have an excellent perspective, and I think perspective is so important right now about reminding us what a bear market is and how to kind of put it in perspective for our investments. You know, it's a tough time. It really are. These are tough times.
Yes, they are, and it's understandable how upset you are, because this is what you counted on. Whatever the number was last December, it's certainly 20% less. That's a significant hit you'll see. Mm-hmm. But the worst thing you can do is panic and sell out. That is exactly what makes market bottoms. And I fear that as people get their statements coming up in the next month or two, they're going to go, oh my goodness, and blindly sell. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. Always good to hear your
Thanks,
advice.
Sam.
Tom Huffman is joining us. He is the Executive Vice President at Wintrust SBA Lending Division. And you've got some helpful advice for us, and we like helpful advice about SBA loans. How are you, Tom?
Good. Thank you, Anna. Very good. Thank you.
Well, okay, so SBA loans, describe what they are and then what you've got for us in order to help us guide through the process.
Sure. SBA loans are loans that are guaranteed by the government. They're made by each individual bank. Has the ability to make these loans, and you know, each bank uses a variety of different products, but you know, we kind of focus on our customers at Wintrust. But the thing that I really want to talk about is that all the COVID relief is not over. Everyone thinks that there's no more free money, if you will, but there are some loans under $350,000, which is kind of focused on the small business loans, you know, customers that have $1 million, $2 million, $3 million in sales. There's basically no guarantee fee till the end of September. So if you make application, get approval between now and the end of September, and you're borrowing less than $350,000 from a bank, the guarantee fee is waived. And that those fees are somewhere between a point and a half to 3 points, three percentage. So if you're borrowing, you know, $200,000, you're saving, you know, somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000, and that's just on the guarantee fee. The other thing that I heard your earlier comments about rising inflation. A lot of these businesses have more expensive inventory, bigger payroll because business is strong, and they're basically have borrowing money on their credit cards and some merchant credit card, merchant loans, or some Amazon loans. If you didn't know that Amazon's in the finance business, they are. And those are often fairly expensive for those businesses, and they get paid back fairly quickly. So think about it as if you had a credit card and you could want to refinance your house and pay off your credit card, you hear those ads all the time. Well, no one really thinks you can do the same thing with your small business. You can. It's called an SBA loan. The SBA is much more patient capital. They have 7 and 10 year amortizations for these working capital loans. And so your payments, instead of, you know, you could save thousands of dollars a month. And so at times, if times are going to get difficult here in the future, you want to have a little more cushion, and the SBA loan gives you that more patient capital and lowers your payment substantially. And that's really what we like to do, is help people save money, and, you know, both on the interest rate and on a payment, you know, collectively, you know, we can save, you know, thousands of dollars every month for many customers.
You say lowers the payment. Does that mean, do you transfer a balance? Say you've got one of the Amazon loans you talk
about. Correct. Yes. Yes. We transfer, we refinance those loans and we pay those loans off. The same thing with your credit card or same thing with these merchant credit card loans. We transfer those loans and then we pay them off. So those loans go to zero and then we give you, you know, basically a much longer time frame to pay those loans off. And again, saves you thousands of dollars.
How variable are a lot of the loans that small business owners have right now? What are you hearing as you talk with folks in the small business community?
Yeah, I think rates are rising, and that's concerning to them. You know, and I think most people are concerned about rising rates, but they, you know, I think everyone still focuses on what their payment is, right? And it's just, you know, if their payment went up, that's not necessarily good, but it depends on how much longer do they have left on that loan. If the rates went up, you know, 2 points, 3 points, like they're talking about for this entire year, you know, but you only got 2 years left on your loan, it's not a big deal. But if you have 20 years left on your loan, that's a much bigger deal. So, you know, again, how much longer do you have to make that payment? So we are seeing a little bit of angst, but not a ton. Our pipeline for new loan volume has been solid throughout the first quarter. And I just visited with some people that make loans in the real estate market, and they say business is still very good for them. So, you know, the economy is still chugging along, even though we think
there's some headwinds.
Softening.
Yeah.
There's some headwinds.
Yeah.
But it's not everybody's, you know, is doom and gloom at this point.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, that's excellent data that you let us know about. I always hear about the concern about rising costs, and you heard us talk about that. People go out and they're eating, they're buying goods, and they say, wow, it's a lot more expensive, and it's the grocery store, and it's all that kind of thing. But what are you hearing from the small business owners about their supplies? Are they raising prices in a major way? Does that continue to go up? Are they complaining about that still? Has there been any leveling off on that?
I think there's been some leveling off on some of the supply chain issues. I mean, the people have product in their stores. They have product on their shelves. But the one thing that still remains an issue is labor and labor cost. You know, getting labor, getting quality labor, and getting it at a fair price. Those are the things that concern our business owners. Because that's, you know, commodity prices and other prices, you know, materials prices may go up and down, but labor costs, you know, kind of, you know, getting quality people and the pay that these people need or want or demanding are fairly high. And that's a bigger concern for our customers.
Labor. Yeah. Tom Huffman, if people want to find out more information about the SBA loans and the fee waivers you spoke about, where can you send them?
You can send them to Wintrust.com, and you can look up SBA loans there, and my there'll be information about that there. So
awesome.
I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate yours, and have a good holiday weekend. That's Tom Huffman, the Executive Vice President, Wintrust SBA Lending Division, Wintrust.com. The Wintrust Business Lunch continues. It's 12:43. We continue our hometown spotlight on Homewood as well with featured business coming up here. Oh, but first, Steve Grzanich is standing by with a look at the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. People's Gas has cut a deal with ComEd to put its Chicago natural gas customers on ComEd's smart grid system. The move will likely result in a rate increase for People's customers. The Illinois Commerce Commission will have to approve the agreement. Both utilities say it will save customers money in the long run. The smart grid system of meters eliminates the need for meter readers and enables utilities to track usage remotely. Crane says nearly a third of People's customers currently can't afford their gas bills. A Chicago-based investment firm has set up a nearly $3 billion fund to invest in early-stage biotech companies in the U.S. Arch Venture Partners closed the fund at $2.98 billion, according to Crane's. The firm focuses on commercializing technology developed at academic institutions and usually co-founds companies with scientists. The amount of funding it provides ranges from $50,000 to hundreds of millions of dollars. This new fund will invest in companies addressing areas like infectious disease, mental health, immunology, oncology, and neurology, among other things. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Steve Alexander with the business of food.
Yes, and we are happy to be sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDrivesChicago.com. When you think of croutons, what one word comes to mind? How about stale?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So, Matt Waxman and his big brother, John.
He's 6'4", I'm 5'8".
Put their years of experience in the food and financial businesses together and decided,
let's start a crouton company. Let's make a better crouton.
Their goal? Reinvent the crouton category with an all-natural sourdough version made with organic flour. A crouton that doesn't taste stale, fresh out of the package.
And we wanted it to be crunchy, where it holds up in a salad or a soup, but also light enough that you can just pop them in your mouth and snack on them.
And they named it Kooshy.
So that is K-O-O-S-H-Y. It actually comes from the French word couche, which is spelled differently, C-O-U-C-H-E. And that kind of really speaks to our dedication to artisan bread making. It's a proofing cloth used to proof bread and baguettes.
Kooshy comes in four flavors.
We have Almost Naked, which is sea salt and black pepper and olive oil. Mambo Italiano, our take on that classic Italian garlic, cheese, and basil. The first ever spicy crouton, Poco Picante. It's basically chili and lime. And then the last one, French Toast, our most exciting one. We got the first ever sweet crouton. So it's maple sugar and Saigon cinnamon. You can kind of eat it like a candied pecan in salads, or the best salad of all, just some ice cream.
I think he just put ice cream into the salad category. Well, it is National Dairy Month. Waxman says so far the Chicago-born company is doing well.
We really kind of launched in January in terms of our real scaled launch, and we're now in 300 to 400 stores, including Mariano's, Fresh Time, and a bunch of other stores in Chicago.
Kooshy Croutons, another innovative food product born in Chicago.
We started making our croutons initially out of the hatchery, and they were another incredible supporter of local brands.
And we'll talk about the hatchery in an upcoming episode. That's the business of food. Oh, it's National Mai Tai Day, if you're so inclined, on 720 WGN.
It is also the final Thursday of the month, not just Mai Tai Day, but the final Thursday. We here at WGN, we take a look at a different hometown spotlight. And this month it is on Homewood. Business owner Liz Smith joins us. She is the founder and owner of Serendipity Yoga and Wellness in Homewood. How are you, Liz?
I'm doing very well today. How are you?
I'm good. Tell us about what you do. And I know that there's an event as well going on in Homewood that you want to tell us about, too.
Absolutely. So, as you mentioned, I'm the owner of Serendipity Yoga and Wellness. We opened in our current location just about a year ago, mid-July in 2021. But I started teaching yoga about 10 years ago and established the business and have gone through many different shifts and changes since about 2016. So over the last 6 years, we are fortunate enough to offer yoga programming to clients of all ages, from expectant parents all the way to, I want to say, our oldest client is currently rocking out in their 90s. So everybody in between.
So you opened in a pandemic in 2021. Was that because you noticed the extreme demand for people who wanted to calm down and connect and breathe again? I mean, what was the impetus there, Liz?
Well, I had another location for the studio prior to that. We had been open in our official location for 6 months before the pandemic struck. And that we were a boutique studio at that time, which is now code word for we were small. After, you know, moving through the pandemic and fortunately being supported by the village in several different ways, we were able to make it through, keep functioning through either outdoor classes online or classes in, we were able to host when it was safe inside at the Homewood Science Center. Mm-hmm. And so after making it through all of that, last year, I found a great place that's big and open, spacious and airy. We have windows that open. So, you know, it's nice that we can feel safe, but also practice. And like you said, get back together, breathe, de-stress, relax. And just be a community.
Yeah, I feel like that has, it has grown. The people who I know talking about doing yoga has grown in the last couple of years. And I don't think that's accidental. The one thing that surprises a lot of people, I think, is that it can be such a workout, and it can really truly tone your body and help. It isn't just about mindfulness and breathing and relaxation and meditation. There's a lot more to it.
Absolutely. And I think that is one of the things that people are learning more and more, is that yoga can be coming in, laying down for an hour, barely moving and breathing. It can also be quite an extensive workout for the body and to the mind, and there's everything in between. And so the call I get most often is, okay, I want to start yoga. And then we go, okay, well, what do you want that yoga to look like? Because we have 16 different styles of yoga that we offer here at the studio, and depending on what you desire and also where your body's at, we'll be able to direct you into the right class for you. And a lot of that comes through experimentation and trying different teachers and different styles.
What's the most challenging yoga you do?
So the most challenging we offer is a style of yoga called vinyasa yoga. Mm-hmm. And that's where you put together a series of movements and move with your breath. And that creates what we call a flow. And so it's more cardiovascularly based and really causes you to have to concentrate on matching that movement and breath.
Men and women, what would you say? There are more men turning to yoga? I usually go to classes and it's 99% female.
It's been awesome that we've had such a great diverse population of people who identify in all ways. And so it's a very diverse community here across the spectrum.
Yeah, everyone's welcome. It's 183rd in Dixie is where one of your locations is. Do you still have the other one, Liz?
No, we let go of that location just because it didn't make sense.
Yeah, this one
to be in a closed room.
Yeah, no, this one sounds perfect. Exactly what people are looking for. You're also part of Healthy Homewood Fest that's coming up Saturday, July 16th, 12 to 8 p.m. Give us a minute on that, Liz, before I let you go, and thank you for your time.
Absolutely. So I am having the pleasure of collaborating with the Village of Homewood to put on our first outdoor Healthy Homewood Fest, and we have a variety of wellness providers that are gathering together to share community resources and the many different facets of wellness, body, mind, and spirit-based. So we have a great wellness community here in Homewood, in the surrounding areas, and we just want everyone to be able to come out and see what there is that we have to offer as a community and share maybe some things people didn't know about.
It's awesome what you're doing, Liz. Thank you for sharing it with us here at WGN.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Have a good holiday weekend. Liz Smith there. She's the founder and owner of Serendipity Yoga in Homewood.